We back from a hiatus, and you know we are back with Wow Season 2. Hope you enjoy. Alrighty, what up? So we are back, you know, from a long break. Been doing a whole lot, been chilling like a villain. Alright, we're gonna get in this first topic. Why the BET Awards are great. Alright, so the BET Awards for me, BET 2021 was great. I love the BET Awards because it's the one place where you can have Kirk Franklin and the baby on the same stage. Okay, not at the same time, but hey, they might have a song together, I don't know. But yeah, it just appreciates black culture. You know, you get the young, you get the middle age, and you get the old folk all in the same building, appreciating black culture, black excellence, all at the same damn time. Okay, so we got the City Girls there. We got, you know, with the Twerkulator. We got the baby there. We got Little Baby. We got, like I said, Kirk Franklin. Then they honored Queen Latifah. So I love all that. You know, I like the pattern that I'm seeing of our culture. You know, we've been doing this all the time, but I like it. For me, it's becoming more out there. I like the whole trend of us celebrating legends while they're still here. Okay, giving people their roses while they're still here. You know, I love that. I love that. You know, we don't have to wait till someone passes away unexpectedly in order to give them their roses. You know, so I love that. And I think we should continue doing that. But yeah, so the BET Awards, they're almost like, I almost look at it like almost like a family reunion. That's how I kind of look at it. Because, you know, it's black artists, or it's artists, you know, you have a few white artists, but you know, if you're gonna pay homage, you're gonna be in hip-hop, you know, music, you gotta go to the BET Awards. Okay, so yeah, but I love it. You know, they pay homage to people who have passed away. So rest in peace, you know, Paul Mooney, you know, Cicely Tyson. You know, they give love to everybody, you know, and I think we got to keep that up. But I love the part, I love a lot of the stuff about the BET Awards, but I love the part where, when, you know, before the City Girls came on to do their twerking, you know, shout out to Taraji P. Henson for this. You know, I love, she did an excellent job as being a host. But they had to give a little, you know, history lesson. You know, me being a historian and me being a history teacher, I love how they put that in perspective. Like, you know, don't be too bougie to appreciate the City Girls, okay, with them twerking and them talking about sex and all. None of what they're doing is new, okay. So even back in the day, like you said, you had Uncle Luke. Even if you want to go back to Africa with twerking and stuff, it wasn't called twerking, but pretty much that's what it is, dancing, right, showing your body. You know, so here, you know, in America, as usual, you know, a lot of things are given a negative context or a negative connotation when black people are doing it. But I'm glad they tried to educate folks on where twerking came from and pretty much let y'all know, like they said, they had, what's that song? Do it in the butt. Ooh, do, do, do. That little, you know, go-go song or whatever. Shout out to them. But yeah, man, people have been rump shaking and twerking or whatever from times in, you know, some from ancient times. Okay, so we've been doing that. So, you know, don't be ashamed of it. You know, let them rock. You know, they young women, they proud of their bodies and stuff. Let them rock out. Black women's proud of their bodies. Let them rock. You know, so I'm glad they did that. You know, because a lot of people be all judgmental and all that. Like, and that's the thing. Like, we gotta have that intergenerational kind of, you know, solidarity, right? So everything, like I said, I'm 30. I'm not gonna understand everything that 18, 19 year olds are talking about on a record. you know, but at the same time, we can't act like we're so above what they're talking about, you know, because if we do that, we can't relate to the next generation, right? So we can find some stuff to relate to. You might not be able to understand all of it, and all of it is not for you to understand, right? So some people is making fun of the Migos, you know, they couldn't understand them, but they got a whole different lingo in Atlanta. You know, I just appreciate that. You know, they got their own different lingo, they got their own style, swag. You know, it's not supposed to appeal to 45-year-olds and 50-year-olds. You know, they're not making music for them, for that age group. They're making music for these people coming up who speak like that, who, you know, they got the code words and all of that. So, yeah, so I appreciate that. You know, so I'm, you know, BET overall 360 degrees is a appreciation for Black culture in all of its different elements, right? So you got the gospel people there, you got your R&B, Jasmine Sullivan, her did an excellent job, you know, with her music, you know, so all of it is great. You know, I think all of it's good, and like you said, you just see those different little segments in our culture, and that's what you're going to see with the BET Awards, right? They're going to educate you. I love the commercials. Most of the commercials are really good. But I also like what Roland Martin was talking about. Shout out, Ro. He was like, hey, we see these commercials talking about, hey, we for Black people, or they had the Black commercials and all of that. But you also need to be hiring some Black folk. And we also need to see some Black folk in CEO boardrooms and controlling some of these boardrooms as well, in leadership positions as well. But yeah. So BET Awards, if you want to see just the different slices and the different segments of Black culture, I definitely would recommend watching the BET Awards, right? So this is a little bit, I'm taping this now right a little bit after it aired. So catch it, you know, if you haven't seen it already. If you've seen it, you can probably watch it again. So it's that good. So, yep, that is why the BET Awards are great. We on the next topic, everybody. We on the next topic. All right, we on the second topic, everybody. We on the second topic. But yeah, the second topic, we're going to talk about Felicia Rashad and the fallout from her tweet, pretty much, you know, congratulating Bill Cosby on getting free. If you haven't seen it, Bill Cosby, you know, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, you know, freed Bill Cosby based on a technicality. So essentially, some of the lawyers, they said, hey, we wasn't going to prosecute you on for this particular case, right? For this particular accuser. And, you know, I guess they reneged on that and they started to use evidence against him, and for prosecuting him. And, you know, when they originally, the prosecutor said they wasn't going to do it. So that's why he got away. It wasn't because, you know, he was innocent. It was because of a technicality in the law, right? But yeah, so she, rightly so, in my opinion, got a lot of criticism from that. She said something like, oh, it was a miscarriage of justice. Justice had been served once, you know, news came out that Bill Cosby was released. Okay. And if you didn't know, Felicia Rashad is currently the chair. She's the dean of arts. It's like she's the dean of the Chadwick Boseman fine arts department. So yeah, so when we first heard that news of her getting that seat, everyone was happy, right? You know, she's an iconic actress, all of that stuff. But once you come out, and I'm hearing a lot of people saying, oh, you know, it's not fair that she's getting all this criticism because of freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is not freedom of consequences. So let me rewind it. Freedom of speech is not freedom from consequences. All right. So if you're going to come out there on a public platform, when you have a verified check mark, you're inviting criticism. So whatever you say, you have to be willing to take accountability for that. You know, so how are the students who are victims of sexual assault, how are they going to feel about going to Felicia Rashad and reporting someone who may be famous at Howard, right? So, so this is a horrible situation, and I think she has to go, in my opinion. I think she got to go. And everybody will call that cancel culture or all of that stuff. No, it's not a cancel culture. It's just accountability culture, right? So whatever you say, you have to be willing to, you know, take the consequences for that, right? And I also think, you know, no one is entitled to be a leader, you know, at Howard or anywhere, right? So when you're a leader and you say certain things, hey, you got to take, you know, you're held to a different standard. So if she wanted to tomorrow make a podcast and she can, you know, have her support for Bill Cosby, hey, that's what she could do. But I don't think she should be able to do that in the role that she's in now, right? Because, you know, a lot of students, like I said, I don't think they would feel safe. You know, I don't think they'll feel safe, or they'll feel safe reporting sexual assault to her. You know, if the person who's, you know, supposedly doing the assaulting is famous or something like that. So, yeah, but we have to abandon and kill celebrity culture. It, you know, I've been looking at the social media and all that, and you have all these people defending Bill Cosby, who I know for a fact, would not defend a teacher. Like if a teacher had 10 accusations of sexual assault, you would not defend that teacher, or you would not want your kid in that class. I already know that. Like Bill Cosby got at least over 20, over 30 accusations of this. So that's a pattern of behavior. So I already know all the same people defending Bill Cosby, right, are the same ones who would not want their child in a teacher's classroom who had even 5 accusations, right? So what's the difference between the regular teacher or a principal or an administrator at a school having these accusations and Bill Cosby? Well, the difference is the fame, the celebrity, right? A lot of people keep going back to it's the nostalgia, right, of the Cosby Show and what that how that show portrayed black folk and all of that stuff. So I think that's what people are trying to defend, and I think that's very, very misguided in this sense, because like you said, if anybody in your regular life was accused of sexual assault, not just one case, not just 2 cases, not just 3 cases, 10 cases, yeah, y'all would not have this much sympathy, or y'all would not defend them at all. So you shouldn't. So you wouldn't defend it in that case, and you shouldn't defend it now. Okay. But also with Bill Cosby, and I think I put a little bit of this on my social media, you know. But also we have to get into Bill Cosby too, with the hypocrisy, right? Because I remember in 2005 his pound cake speech, where he essentially stereotyped all black folk and overgeneralized all black folk as bad parents, as parents who cared more about buying their kids Jordans opposed to their education, right? Who wasn't disciplining their children, all of that stuff, right? So he overgeneralized black folk in those terms. And at the same time, so which all of those things are racist stereotypes, right? But at the same time, Bill Cosby himself was actually being the stereotype, right? The racist stereotype. He was actually being the stereotype of the black sexual predator. Right. So if you go to movies like Birth of a Nation, like the original Birth of a Nation, where in 1915, where the Klan was actually portrayed as being heroes because they were supposed to protect white women from black sexual predators. Right. And that was the whole rationale for segregation, for bans against interracial marriage, all of that stuff. It was this whole stereotype that black men were sexual deviants, that they were more likely to be sexual deviants, rapists, predators than any other group. And that's why they needed to be separated from white women, right? So he was actually being that stereotype. He was actually committing sexual assault, not only against white women, but against
multiple black women. Okay, so the same guy lecturing black folk, telling us, oh, y'all need to stop buying Jordans. Y'all need to be better parents. Y'all need to work hard and stop being lazy. The whole black male, the whole black fathers trope. Oh, where's the black fathers? And why are you not being, where are the dads? And where our community got too many single parent homes. And all of these tropes, all of these stereotypes he was lecturing us on. And at the same time, he was out here roofing women and being the racist stereotype of the black sexual predator. So this should let everyone know why you need to be humble and you need to be very weary, very careful of some of these people who come out and overgeneralize people and stereotype groups of people. So be very careful. I'm looking at all. I see a couple of them who's popped up in our society today. So be very careful and be careful that you're not doing that yourself. Overgeneralizing and stereotyping people and not walking and talking in humility. Okay. Well, that was a lot. I know, but I had a lot to say about the topic. So what do you think? You know, you can hit me on the social media. And yeah, we'll talk about it, but we on the next topic, everybody. We on the next topic. All right, so we on the last topic. So this is another 4th of July that's coming up. You know, obviously I wasn't here when we was celebrating Juneteenth, so I actually did that for the first time. I went to a real event, and for me it's still Juneteenth out here. Now I ain't gonna judge nobody, you know, go do the barbecues and all that, you know, do what you do. And I'm going to a barbecue this July 4th too, but for me, I'm still celebrating Juneteenth. Okay. And the reason why is, you know, I pretty much talked about this last time, but I'll reiterate it again. July 4th, you know, that was Independence Day for America, you know, and we were America, right? White Americans, right? Were fighting against the British. So the British was, you know, pretty much colonizing America. But from black folks' perspective, Native folks' perspective, women, anybody who wasn't a white male, what essentially happened on 4th of July, 1776, is that we traded one oppressor, British oppressors, for American oppressors, okay, white American oppressors. So that's essentially what happened from the perspective of black, brown, Asian, Latino people, okay, women, all of that, right? So I always keep that in mind, and like I said, I'm trying to make it a tradition of reading what to the slave is the 4th of July. So that's a very, very important speech by Frederick Douglass, and I would encourage everybody to read that on this July 4th weekend, just to re-energize yourself, and just let you know, like, what it really is. But at the same time, you know, I'm gonna keep balance, you know, I'm still have a good time and talk to family, friends, you know, have a little hot dog or something like that. So, you know, it's always about balance, right? So I'm getting more and more and more into the activist space, you know, but I'm still, you know, a son, I'm still a brother, I'm still a friend. So I'm, you know, I'm still trying to balance that out. So you'll hear more about that, you know, as we go through the episodes. But yeah, so it's still Juneteenth for me. I'm still going to be doing my thing. But I actually went to a Juneteenth event. It was really nice. It was actually black folk in Upper Marlboro. They had their own, you know, like land, like, you know, acres upon acres of land out there. You know, they had black owned businesses that was out there. And it felt good. Just everybody was out there just chilling, relaxing. Had people's dogs out there. People had tents out there. They had music, you know, playing, you know, the new school, and then had to go back to the old school and all of that, you know. So it felt good. You know, they had like jewelry businesses. People were selling food, had paintings. It was really good just to see that, you know, just everybody was just relaxing and chilling. And as I was sitting there watching, I was like, this is what needs to be portrayed more in the media, right? This is what needs to be. This is why black owned media is very important, because most of the time what we see on the news is, you know, someone been shot in the community, someone been killed. We always see turmoil in the community. That's the only thing that we kind of see in mainstream news, you know. But me sitting at that event with a friend of mine, we were just sitting there chilling. It was just peaceful, you know. And I think this happens a lot more often than what's portrayed. Okay, so if I wish I had like a camera, and you know, I took pictures, you know, it was on my Instagram, but it was just everybody was really nice, really just cordial, and it wasn't like it was exceptional, you know, to me, because I've had the luxury of being in those type of spaces where it's majority black spaces, where for the most part it's chill, it's relaxed, everybody's kind of relaxing, chilling. You know, enjoying music, enjoying each other's company, people playing cards, people just, you know, just, it was a real peaceful environment, you know, and that needs to be portrayed more. Okay, I think, yeah, so that's why I'm always the person who's going to defend black folk, okay, and how we're talked about and how we're portrayed. Okay, so we have issues just like every other group. Do we have intra-community violence? Yes. Okay, I don't even like using that quote unquote black on black violence, because every group, if you look at statistics, commits crimes against that very group. So white people commit crimes mostly against white folk, Hispanics against Hispanics, Asian against Asians. So that is not something that is uniquely black, right? So I don't have any issues with pointing out some of the issues in our community, but what I'm not going to do is make it seem like those issues are uniquely black issues, right, when they're not, right? So but yeah, but also when we talk about issues, we also got to flip it around and also celebrate our culture too. Like, celebrate when we see people being peaceful, celebrate when we see academic excellence, and these things happen a lot more often than what you would think, okay, then like I said, than what is portrayed. So you can definitely look forward to me highlighting that on this podcast. So so happy Juneteenth. Like I said, it's really July 4th coming up, but like I said, it's Juneteenth for me. Have a barbecue, have a good time. And, you know, post black joy, you know, post yourself having a good old time, because that is revolutionary as well. Black joy is revolutionary, especially when you live in a system that is not designed for you to experience joy. So to still have joy in that system is revolutionary. So on that note, happy July 4th. And like I said, happy Juneteenth. We still rocking. We rocking and rolling. Peace.